Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Welcome back. I'm Mark Bayshore. Reach us at currentstate@wkar.org. Michigan has one of the larger Muslim populations in the country, and today community leaders from across Michigan will be gathering in Lansing for the annual Michigan Muslim Capital Day. The event, organized by the Michigan Muslim Community Council, seeks to strengthen relationships with state lawmakers. And here to tell us more about the event are Dr. Farha Abbasi, an MSU psychiatrist. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Dr. Farhan Bhatti, a local physician and a board member at the Islamic Center of East Lansing. Welcome, Dr. Bhatti.
Thanks for having me.
What are some of the things you're hoping to accomplish today, Farha Abbasi? What is this event about?
So this event has been occurring for the last 4 or 5 years now, and the goal with this event is to give visibility to the Muslim population in Michigan, also to be more interactive with our legislative elected leaders, and to kind of come together and create a more integrated society in Michigan.
Are there specific issues, Dr. Bhatti, that you would like to see addressed?
Well, I think you'll find that the Muslim community is not a monolithic community, and we, just like every other community, have a broad, vast, diverse background, and we care about a lot of issues that everyone else cares about, whether it's healthcare, education, the economy, the environment. These are all things that are near and dear to us, and so we've instructed our participants not to focus on any one issue, but to really talk about issues that matter to them.
Is the diversity within the Muslim community overlooked, Farha Abbasi? Do you think that is something that's lost in the shuffle here?
Definitely, it's people try and put us under one label or under one umbrella, I don't think that's a good policy. We also have a big African American community, which are like part of American fiber, which are practicing Muslims. Mm-hmm. And then we have immigrant population coming from Arab countries, South Asian countries. But what happens is it's assumed that all the Muslims are Arabs, which is actually most of the Muslims living in Michigan are non-Arabs.
Mm-hmm. And the largest Muslim population in the world is in Indonesia, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Right.
What's been the response of lawmakers when you've spoken with them in the past? How is this dialogue? How does it go?
I've had the good fortune of participating in this event every year, and the response is generally overwhelmingly positive. I think people are just encouraged to see us come to the table, to put a face with the name, and to engage us in a conversation, which is all we're asking of our elected leaders, is to just engage us in a conversation, hear our voices, and learn more about our community and the issues that matter to us.
I know Michigan has at least one Muslim state legislator, State Rep. Rashida Tlaib.
Right.
What kind of role is she playing?
As a woman, she is a strong role model. But, of course, it's very exciting for us to have a Muslim legislative and, for that purpose, a woman taking the lead role. I think it also challenges the lot of issues which we have around woman role in Islam and woman being treated as second citizen, where I feel Islam is a very feminist religion. Islam is the first religion that gave women right to identity, entrepreneurship, right to divorce, right to inherit. So I think as a practicing Muslim, I've always felt that Islam empowers me as a woman, and Rashida Tlaib just proves the point to, like, brings it home for all of us. She's a great, great role model to have.
You're nodding, Dr. Bhatti. Anything to add to that comment?
Very eloquently spoken. I've known Representative Tlaib for many, many years, and she does our community very proud, and we're glad to have her.
Is she the first Muslim legislator in the state capitol?
Yes.
I think she may be.
Yes, she's the first elected Muslim representative in our state's history.
A lot of Michigan citizens have learned over the years that the community of Dearborn has a high percentage of Muslims amongst the population. How do issues play out in that particular community?
I think you'll find that issues in Dearborn play out similarly to other communities. Obviously, Dearborn has a very large Arab population, but the Arab population in and of itself is also very diverse. You have folks whose heritage
Chaldean.
Is, yeah, sure, they're Chaldean, they're from Iraq, they're from Syria, they're from Lebanon, Palestine. And so, believe it or not, even the Arab community in Dearborn is not monolithic, and you've got very conservative Republicans there, and you've got very progressive Democrats there. And so just like anything else, they agree on some issues, and they share a lot of the same culture, but they also have very strong opinions on political issues that may or may not differ.
Dr.
Can I comment?
Sure.
We also have to look at it as a thriving economical community. So I was just looking at some statistics which were very alarming, that Michigan state is like altogether, the state is losing the population, and there is a projected like almost like a 3% decrease in Muslim, like Michigan population in general. There is going to be a projected almost 3% decrease in the number of population in Michigan, while the Muslim communities are growing and are very invested in Michigan. So we are a huge asset to Michigan, and Michigan is our home. So anything we talk about is, how do you improve your home? How do you improve your life within that community? So that is what this is about.
Continue.
And if I may add to that, I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, as a young family physician in this community, I could basically write my ticket anywhere in this country and go and practice medicine and be okay. But I've chosen to stay in Michigan, to stay in Lansing. I'm invested here. I own a home here. And
what's that like? What's it like to be a practicing Muslim living in Lansing? The Lansing area.
The Lansing area, it has been very welcoming. We've never had issues here. I love Lansing. And I found over the years, in my 11 years living in this community before coming from Metro Detroit, that you know, this community has welcomed us with open arms, and we're a very integrated community, and I'm very proud to call Lansing home.
Green is a very important color for Muslims, and we are green here. So it's a natural home for us. But one more thing is that Michigan State, in particular, having Michigan State University, which is so focused on including the diversity and bringing everyone together. So I think it has been a really mutually productive for both the parties.
What's it like to try to organize the Muslim community?
It's very difficult, and I can speak with a little bit of experience. I've got some campaign experience, and it's difficult because we're so diverse. You have people in my parents' generation who weren't really politically involved. In fact, you know, their idea of political involvement often is just writing a check. But there's so much more to civics and to political involvement than giving campaign contributions. And it's been a challenge to try to organize us, to try to get us to knock on doors, make phone calls, attend community meetings. But I think you're starting to see us come around, because more and more people in the community are starting to realize the importance of it. Either you're moving forward or you're being left behind. And I think for a while our community has been left behind in civics and in political discussion.
Farha Abbasi is the Lansing area. Are Lansing area Muslims better organized than they were 5 years ago? And what's that been like as far as you're concerned?
Seeing the youth and youth leaders like Farhan play an important role in the political scenario. So Farhan was part of Mayor Virj Bonero's campaign for governor. He was one of the campaign organizer. What was your designation exactly?
Deputy campaign manager.
Yeah. Okay. So I mean, I think there is a lot to be done, but I think we are moving in the right direction. But just one more thing, I really quickly wanted to mention that it's assumed that if you are a practicing Muslim, that you cannot be a good American, or that it cannot be synonymously put in one sentence. Well, I actually, by experience, I've learned the more good practicing Muslim I become, the more responsible, patriotic American I become. So actually, being a practicing Muslim makes you a very good patriotic American, and then being a very good patriotic American just makes me a better Muslim. So it's a very
reinforcing?
Reinforcing, augmenting relationship. So.
You mentioned a few minutes ago that you feel Islam actually empowers you as a woman. What are Americans who view some really heinous activities going on elsewhere in the world? In Afghanistan is probably one of the worst examples. What are Americans to make? How are they to process some of these horrible things that happen involving women in other parts of the world with your claim that Islam actually empowers women?
Think of a knife. A knife in hands of a surgeon can save lives. A knife in a wrong hand can take life, right? Mm-hmm. So religion, any belief system, if used in a perverted fashion, can cause, have detrimental results, right? But that is not, has nothing to do with the ideology that you believe in. It's how you practice it. So there are a lot of other factors that come in play of how you practice it. But the good part about our being a Muslim or being believing in Islam is, Islam is a direct relationship with God and the person. There is no one in between. So that's what we do in our community. What we are trying to do is, all of us are trying to be better Muslims and educate ourselves first of what really being a Muslim means before promoting it or talking. Maybe Farhan can add to that. Well, I see him nodding.
Yeah, continue.
Well, there's a one-word answer, and then I'll explain a little bit. The one-word answer is politics. And the politics of the Middle East and of Asia is very complex and complicated. But you'll find that so many people over there use religion as a crux, when really what they're doing is trying to advance a political agenda. They have very clear political aims and objectives, and they're trying to accomplish them using religion as a shield. And the number one problem over there is education, because there's such a lack of education there, especially in Afghanistan. And when you have a population where only half of them are literate, and only half of them can actually go to the Holy Book and see for themselves what it says, it's very easy for them to be manipulated by people that they trust in leadership positions. And as soon as those people in those leadership positions abuse that trust and start saying things that aren't in line with the faith, but that are instead in line with their political agenda, you can have very dire consequences. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're seeing right now over there. And that's what we're trying to dispel here.
And remember, the statistics here in America shows that the Muslim population is highly educated. There are, in Michigan, only less than 2.5% Muslims which are not high school graduates. Mm. So I think that speaks for itself.
Dr. Farha Abbasi is an MSU psychiatrist. Dr. Farhan Bhatti is a local physician and a board member at the Islamic Center of East Lansing. Thank you both for joining me to discuss the goals and concerns of Michigan's Muslim community, and good luck today.
Thank you.